The calling of the first disciples. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and he left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
Thank you very much. So we've been thinking this morning about good news already, haven't we? And we all long to hear good news, don't we? We all love to hear good news. And we long to hear it. And certainly the people of Israel in Jesus' day did. But they'd been waiting a very, very long time. Their land had been occupied by enemies for hundreds and hundreds of years. First it was the Assyrians. Then it was the Babylonians. Then, after a while, it was the Greeks. And then, most brutal of all, the Romans. And at the time of this that we've been hearing about in this in our Bible reading this morning, it was the Romans. The Romans were occupying Israel, and it was a horrible situation for the people of God to be living in, because all they wanted was to be free. That's all they wanted, to be free, to no longer have to live with the Roman soldiers oppressing them. They wanted to live in peace. They didn't want to have to pay heavy taxes that the Romans required them to pay. And they certainly didn't want to obey the emperor and be told to worship him. Things were not how they were supposed to be. So far as they were concerned, the world was messed up. Or at least their land was messed up. And God had promised them ages ago that he was going to send a Messiah, a rescuer, who was going to come and set them free and re-establish his rule over their land instead of Roman rule. That he was going to put things right again so they could live in peace. But hundreds of years had passed and they were still waiting, still living under the control of their enemies. But then, suddenly, out of nowhere, it seemed, a messenger arrived. You see, in those days, they didn't have mobile phones. I don't know, did Emily tell you face-to-face or by mobile phone? Face-to-face, okay, a bad example. Anyway, somebody got an email, didn't they? Can't remember who it was. But anyway, they didn't have mobile phones, they didn't have email, they didn't even have TV or radio, for goodness sake. I mean, can you imagine? And the way that messages were sent in those days was by word of mouth. And often, if it was something really important, a messenger would be sent out to run and tell the villages and towns around the good news. So, for example, if you were in a war, if your country was fighting a war, and you wanted to know how the war was going, were you winning or were you losing? Then what would happen is you'd wait and you'd keep a lookout for the messenger who'd come running, you know, over the hills, through the valleys, to come and tell you the good news. We've won the war, or whatever else it may be. Or if the king and queen were expecting a baby, and you were waiting for the good news of the arrival of this baby, again, you'd be looking out for a messenger who'd be running to share this good news. And this messenger that I'm talking about now came with the best news of all. The time has come, Jesus said. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. In other words, he says, you know that day that you've been waiting for so long, not just you, but your parents and their parents and their parents and so on, going back hundreds of years, that day is here at last. The kingdom of God has come near. God is about to be king again. But what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, we're going to play a little game to sort of explore what that means a little bit. But before we do that, we're going to have a quiz, because we all like a quiz, don't we? Sharon likes a quiz. We'll call this Sharon's quiz. Sharon, you've got enthusiasm. Come up here. Awesome job. That was great fun. So what have we learned? What have we learned? We've learned this, that the world works better when things are the right way up. The world works better when things are the right way up. And that is what the kingdom of God is all about. That was the good news that Jesus came to share. Because the world has been turned upside down by sin. Okay, the sin in our lives, in the lives of everybody in the world and all previous generations, that sin has messed up the world. The world is not the way it's supposed to be. Life is difficult and even painful because of sin. But Jesus came to put things the right way up again, to restore things to the way they always should be. That was the good news that Jesus was sharing. And as we'll see in the coming weeks as we continue our way through Mark's Gospel, that's exactly what Jesus did. That's what he went on to do. Wherever he went, he set about putting things right again. So when he came across a sick person, what did he do? Healed them. When he came across somebody who was blind, he restored their sight. When he came across somebody who was oppressed by demonic forces, he set them free. He even raised the dead. And he modelled a new way of living, a new way of life, a better way of life, a life of self-giving love instead of selfish ambition. He turned things on its head. The world's way is to put yourself first. Jesus said, no, watch what happens when you live putting God and other people first. So he modelled that new way of living. He turned the world's way of living upside down, or better put, the right way up again. And when he encountered people who were despised and rejected by others, what did he do? He welcomed them. He accepted them. He forgave them. He became their friend. And he told other people, he told his followers, now you go and do the same. All the things that had gone wrong in the world, Jesus came to begin to put right. And he made a way for us to be part of that kingdom as well, that right way around kingdom. You know, we were all, every single one of us, was living in the upside down kingdom. Paul puts it in one of the letters, we were dead in sin. But Jesus came to bring us into his kingdom where things are restored to be the right way around. Why? Because he loves us and he wants us to spend eternity with him. And he wants to spend eternity with us. And because he loves us so much, he died on a cross to take away our sin so that can be possible, so that we can be brought back into a relationship with God, that our world can be turned the right way up again. And he rose again. He came back to life so that we can have that eternal relationship with him, life with him, in the right way around kingdom, now and forever. And all we need to do is come to him. We don't have to earn it. We can't earn it. Doesn't matter, you know, doesn't matter how gifted or how holy you try to be, you cannot earn God's love. It's something that you can only receive as a gift. And we were talking about this on Alpha on Thursday night, about a gift, and how sometimes, you know, it feels, when you hear the words free gift, our initial response is to be sceptical and say, what, really? When we were in London a few years ago, we went to Greenwich, and it was a baking hot day. The kids were hot, thirsty, hungry, getting really miserable, and we thought, okay, look, let's go and get them an ice cream. But we couldn't find any ice cream vans. There was a Tesco Extra or something like that, Tesco Metro. We went in there, all we found is these big boxes of ice lollies. Okay, right, we'll get rid of them. Gave the kids an ice lolly each, and there was still some left over. I thought, what do we do with these? I don't want two. Abby said, because she's much more generous than me, let's just give them to somebody. Okay, fine. So Abby was out there saying, hello, would you like a free lolly? You would not believe how many people went, weirdo, and walked on. Because we're not used to receiving free gifts. We always think there's a catch. There's got to be a catch. She's going to try and trap me in some sort of conversation about weird religious stuff or something, is what people were thinking. But no, genuinely, it was a free gift. We just wanted to bless those people. Now, one or two people finally did say, yeah, okay, thank you, and received the gift. And they had that free blessing that the other people, because they didn't want to receive it, because they were suspicious, missed out on. And that's the picture, if you like, of what Jesus offers us. It is a free gift for us. It wasn't free for him. It cost him everything on the cross. But for us, it's free. All we need to do is say yes and receive it. And the moment we receive it, we're brought into that right way round kingdom that Jesus came to establish on earth. And Jesus said that the way we receive this gift is to do two things. Can anybody remember what those two things are that Jesus said? It was in the Bible reading that we had. Who said that? Khaled, go on. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Yeah, brilliant. Well done. Repent basically means turning back to God. It means changing your mind. Saying, I don't want to live in that old upside down world anymore. I want to trust, I want to come into God's way of living instead. That's what it means. And believe what? Believe in fairies? Believe in Jesus. Believe that Jesus came to establish God's new kingdom, this right way around world. Put your trust in him. And the moment you do that, he welcomes you with open arms. Doesn't matter what you've done in your life before. Doesn't matter how bad you think you are. Jesus says, yeah, come to me and you're welcome. That's what we have to do. Repent and believe. Alright, so maybe you feel this morning that your life is a bit upside down at the moment. Maybe you feel that things just aren't right. Things aren't right with you and God, or things aren't right generally. Your world is a mess. Maybe you feel like you're far from God. Maybe you feel like you're without hope. But Jesus wants you to feel his love, to know his love, not just up there intellectually, but right there in the core of your being. He longs for you to know his love. He longs for you to experience that, you know, putting of your life the right way up again as he comes into your life, as he fills you with his Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage us now. I want to give you the opportunity to do that, to repent and to believe. Maybe you've done it 100 times before. It doesn't matter. You can still do it again today. Okay, to repent and to believe and to receive that gift of healing and freedom and love and grace and mercy, forgiveness, all the good things, to experience your life just be put the right way up again in Jesus. So we're going to do that. And what I want to encourage you to do is, you can just sit with your eyes closed. You might want to hold your hands up out in front of you. But if this morning you know that maybe it's the first time you're doing this. Maybe it's the first time and you say, yeah, I want this to really make a difference in my life today. I want my life to be put back the right way up. And I'm trusting in Jesus for the first time. Or maybe it's the first time, maybe you did it a long time ago, but now you're in a stage where you realize you've drifted so far, you need to do it again. Okay, if that's you, okay, I want to encourage you, as we have this moment of quiet, why don't you stand? Stand up on your feet, just as your way of saying to God, here I am, God, I repent and I believe. So I'm going to say a prayer and you can respond how you want. Jesus, thank you that you came with good news. You came to proclaim the kingdom of God, the right way round kingdom. And Lord, I know that my life has not been the right way around for so much of my life. And even today, Lord, I've done things, I've thought things, said things which I shouldn't have done. I now turn away from those things. And I thank you, Jesus, that you died for me on the cross and you rose again. I commit my life to you now. And if you do want to do this for the first time or the first time in a long time, I encourage you to stand now. Stand now. and whether you're standing or seating, receive the mercy, the grace, and the love of God. Be filled now with His Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing. Would you like to take a seat? Well, let's not, again, let's stay in that attitude of worship and seeking the Lord. Let's press on in, because there's one more thing that we need to take from our reading this morning. Because Jesus doesn't just invite us to come into His kingdom. He invites us to join in, okay? It's an active thing. Remember, He said to those disciples, to Simon and Andrew, and then later to James and John, what did He say to them? Come, follow me. Okay, so we've come to Jesus already this morning, which is brilliant. But now He says, follow me. And we say, okay, well, Lord, where? Where do You want me to follow You, Lord? And what's the purpose of what was the purpose for the disciples to follow Jesus? What was the purpose? To learn how to live like Him. To learn how to live in the kingdom. Yeah, and He said to them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. I'm going to send you out to fish, not for mackerel, sardines, whatever it was that they fished for in the Lake Galilee, but for people. In other words, He's calling us to join in His mission to put the world the right way around again. Okay, and we do that by spending time with Him, by following Him, by learning how to live like Him. Okay, by reading His Word, because the disciples were able to watch Him, you know, with their eyes. We watch Him and learn how to follow Him by reading the Gospels, reading His Word. Okay, but He's calling us to be those who follow Him, to learn to live like Him, so that by our lives we'll draw other people to Him. When we demonstrate that we're living in a different kind of kingdom, people will be drawn to that kingdom when they see it lived out in us. So this morning, let's commit to doing that. Okay, let's commit to living with Jesus and for Jesus, learning to live in His way, in His kingdom. So as we go out, people will be drawn to Him. If you want to do that, stand. Another response. If you want to do that, stand together. Come on, let's stand. Jesus, we've heard Your call to come and to follow. Jesus, we want to learn from You, because we want to become like You. We want to live in Your kingdom fully, so that others will see and be drawn to You too. And we want to be those, Lord, who are emboldened when we have the opportunity to speak of You. So if you want to be emboldened, if you want to have power to speak of Jesus when the opportunity arises, put your hands out in front of you. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us and anoint us for that task. Holy Spirit, we're so desperate for You to come and establish Your kingdom here in Bradford. And we offer ourselves to You. As partners in Your gospel for this to happen. So come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with Your presence, Lord, with Your power, and anoint our lips to speak of You when we get the opportunity, and put courage in our hearts, Lord. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.